Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Many things go into the ways in which we all size up the people we have to work with, people we meet on the street, people we're going to buy from or sell something to. A person's voice triggers a lot of assumptions to the listener, drawing conclusions about where they're from. Level of education, political outlook, all kinds of things which contribute to a personal brand, some of which is correct and some of which may not be.
Stephen from New Jersey, as the child of immigrants who were teased for having accents as they were from Trinidad, I grew up not being allowed to talk with an accent and being of African-American descent. So when I show up, I get the response, "Oh, you're Stephen."
This is Jen from Austin, Texas. I grew up in the southern United States with a faint but noticeable southern accent. I was not particularly aware of it until I spent time in the Northeast and West Coast, where I was mocked for it to the degree that I trained it out of my voice. A lot of Americans conflate being southern with being ignorant and seem to prefer to think of racism as solely a southern problem.
Some of your thoughts, but during tomorrow night's GOP candidates debate, see if you can evaluate the candidates independent of their voices. It's hard. Can you forget Donald Trump's New York honk, the quiet southern hints in Ben Carson's voice, the hints of Cuban in Marco Rubio's voice, the intense nasal Texas twang of Ted Cruz, and the hybrid sound of Houston and Hartford, Connecticut in Jeb Bush? Kara Becker is assistant professor of linguistics at Reed College. She says candidates may worry about their accents with certain voters, but she says politicians need to make sure their voices are signaling honesty and authenticity before they go tampering with them.
Everyone has an accent, and there are some people who really approximate that idea of a standard English, but the reality is that most Americans do speak in a marked regional way. What's interesting about politicians is that they're very high-status people, and so most of the time, very high-status people in the U.S. are invested in approximating that standard, right, and losing those marked regional features. But again, this is what I think is really interesting about politicians is that it's clearly to their advantage to retain their regional features and not shift away from them in the direction of this more standard, less marked way of talking.
So here we've got Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders.
The only way we really transform America and do the things that the middle class and working class desperately need is through a political revolution when millions of people begin to come together and stand up and say our government is going to work for all of us, not just a handful of billionaires.
Now, what he's saying sounds compelling. But, let's not forget, Larry David played him on Saturday Night Live and parodied him directly to the syllable. Is he talking to everyone in America or is he just talking to people between the Hudson and the East River?
Well, I think the fact that he has a marked regional accent really allows him to convey a more general message, which is this idea of being an everyday kind of person. That being said, I think in the case of the New York accent, while overall it does have some negative connotations, it also does have a positive side. The New York accent can convey the quality of authenticity, but also some stances like, I'm telling it like it is, I'm a straight shooter. And so I think in the case of Bernie Sanders and other politicians who have New York accents, they're really drawing on those qualities when they highlight their New York accent.
Well, they couldn't be more different, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, but their accents pit them right in New York here.
To have a country, you have to have a strong border. You have to have a really strong border. I will build the wall and Mexico is going to pay for it and they'll be happy to pay for it.
Yeah, I think in a very funny way, there's a quality that connects Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, and it's that straight shooter persona. You know, it's interesting to note that the New York accent has changed a lot over time and changed a lot in terms of our perceptions of it over time, so that politicians like FDR use those accents at a time when the New York accent actually had a very high status connotation. So that's been something that's changed a lot in the last, you know, half decade or so.
We've certainly lived through an era over the last 20, 30 years of many southern accents in presidential politics. Here's George Bush from 2000, one of his campaign ads.
There's a big difference in philosophy between my opponent and me. He trusts government, I trust you. I trust you to invest some of your own Social Security money for higher returns. I trust local people to run their own schools. I trust you with some of the budget surplus.
And now let's listen to Bill Clinton in a campaign ad from October of 1992.
We're going to ask the rich to pay their fair share so the rest of America can finally get a break. A plan to put government back on your side. Read it yourself. Together we can make America work again.
What do those two accents and those two candidates have in common in what they're trying to convey, do you think?
The Southern accent, like the New York accent, has some negative connotations, and these are related to socioeconomic status and some other things. But there's a very clear set of positive connotations for the Southern accent as well, and these are qualities like friendliness. So it's the kind of taking your time, getting to know someone, you know, come up on my porch and have a mint julep. And so I think that politicians with Southern accents are able to successfully draw on the positive qualities that are associated with that accent and, again, use it to their advantage.
Well, here's another Bush who we're going to be hearing a lot more of in the next couple of months.
What we need is new leadership that takes conservative principles and applies them so that people can rise up. America's best days are in front of us, and we are going to lead the world.
Now, that seems like a Southern combined with a Midwestern. He's almost like a football coach there.
Yeah, I think most people note that Jeb Bush doesn't sound as Southern as his brother. Certainly, he has a Southern accent, and we can hear some features of it. It's perhaps a little bit slighter, but he also speaks fairly standardly as well. It would be interesting to see, you know, what are the moments where he shifts into using more of his Southern English, and what is he doing in those moments?
Well, let's go back in time and listen to Jimmy Carter, who was the first Southern president after LBJ.
The Republican TV commercial to assure us the economy is healthy, inflation's controlled, our leadership is great. But when I look around, I see every trip to the supermarket a shock.
Now, the warmth there doesn't really work when you're talking about the entire world in flames at that point.
Right. And, you know, Jimmy Carter is really great because he has this classic Southern accent that has really been lost in the South. A lot of the features that he uses really just aren't used by young speakers from the South anymore. But what you're pointing out is really interesting, and it's about how what we're talking about, the context, who we're speaking to, right, impacts the features that we use, but also how we're perceived. And so it may be the case that there are certain kinds of messages and certain kinds of topics where politicians are going to amplify their regional features, and there are others where they might be better served by kind of pulling back on those, right, and speaking in a more standard way.
What's Obama's accent?
So Obama is really interesting, and he's people comment about his language use all the time and his ability to style shift in and out of different varieties. Notably, I think he can speak in a very standard way. He has a standard American English style that he uses a lot. What people often note is when he shifts into a more African-American style and uses features associated with a variety that we call African-American English.
Hillary Clinton comes from Chicago.
Well, it wasn't the best choice. The people in the government knew that I was using a personal account, but it would have been better if I'd had two separate accounts to begin with.
So she's got the Midwestern neutral.
She's fairly standard, but, you know, if you listen to her, she does have features. So Chicago is part of the northern cities, and there's a something called the northern city shift, so an accent that's associated with cities that ring the Great Lakes. And Hillary Clinton does speak with that northern city shift. It's subtle. She might be someone like Jeb Bush, who's very successful at speaking in a fairly unmarked standard style. But if you listen closely, she does have some features that link her to that place.
Kara Becker is assistant professor of linguistics at Reed College. Thanks so much, Kara.
Thanks so much for having me.